welcome to this week's episode of It's not a weekly episode. Right. Welcome to Relative Paths. I have to do the intro this week as punishment because we've just recorded an interview with a guest and I've messed up the recording.
And even though Ben did the punishment intro, you didn't get it right because you haven't told anybody who we are yet.
Oh, yeah. No, you were. I don't know. Which
did, you know did you say Relative Paths?
I did.
Okay. What are we about?
Web stuff. Web development and maybe design. Someone, you're a bit designy.
And who are you?
I'm Ben Hutchings. And you are?
I'm Mark Phoenix, other host.
Yes.
This is why I do the intros.
The door's open. It's a lovely sunny afternoon. So one of our neighbours sounds like our neighbours. Yeah, because Mark and I live together.
We're not Morecambe and Wise.
Yeah. No, we don't. One of our neighbours is angle grinding something.
Yeah.
So I hope you can't hear that. This is a dog's dinner of intro.
What we're talking about today, just to kind of get our subject out of the way, is we're talking about the little things, the details that make you happier in your work,
like such as listening getting recording to correct.
Or listening to a professional, well-oiled podcast machine in full flow. It was interesting. I was looking for a font for my text editor. And I spent way too much time sort of fiddling with it. And I was listening to, a podcast or I was reading a blog and somebody mentioned a font that they use, which they particularly like. And I think they said that whenever they post screenshots of code, they always get positive comments about the font.
Right.
And so my ears pricked up and I went to it and I think the font is called Input. And as I was fiddling around with it and comparing it to Droid Sans Mono Dotted, which was the previous font that I used, and I think Consolus was the one that I used before that, I was thinking, am I weird for doing this? I mean, am I wasting my time? And then I just got to thinking that sometimes it's those little things that can make a difference because, you know, you probably spend more time looking at your text editor than anything else, don't you?
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah, maybe I should spend some more time doing what you've been doing.
Endlessly fiddling with it.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting just how little things like that can make a difference. Like I use Atom now.
Mm.
But the way it works on Windows, I'm not sure if it works the same on Mac. When you put your icon for it in the little kind of menu bar at the bottom, what's it called? I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. It's a dock on Mac, but I can't remember what it's called on Windows. Never mind. Anyway.
Taskbar?
Taskbar. No. I know, I think it is a taskbar. I don't get an icon. I just get a little kind of white upright oblong for it. I think it's because every time you update Atom, it records a new version, so it doesn't link back to the same .exe file.
Mm.
So you can't use the same shortcut in the... This is really dull. But anyway, but it just, every time I click on it, it frustrates me because I think, I want I like the icon. The icon looks nice. Why can't I have the icon? All my other icons are sort of there and they look nice. And every now and then the Slack icon goes away because I've done the same thing with Slack. And I've got to get it back. And it's just funny how like little things like that make a difference.
Mm.
What do you think?
They do. They definitely do. I think it's very important to have your working environment set up. I think later on we might chat a little bit about outdoors, you know, surrounding you, but your actual system. I spend the most time I spend is setting up scripts to do things,
right,
and then updating those scripts to use updated components and things to do things, and then realizing that actually, it's a thing. Actually, Jem's dad says that it's some sort of rule of software or some sort of rule of admin that if you're going to do anything more than once, script it. Which is kind of, you know, write a script for it. Which is kind of a good idea. So there are certain things, like I've got a little install script for WordPress that uses whatever it's called, WPCLI. So if I type WP install, then it will prompt me for about five different things, including site name, title, email address, password I want to use, and set it up on my local dev system.
All in the command line.
Yeah, and it will create the debate database and pull down the latest version. It asks a few other things, but I've got defaults set up on it, so it'll default to GB UK or UKGB or whatever it is. But if you want to set another language, you can.
Does it actually save you time, that?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, an install of WordPress would be either pulling down, like curling down the install and then running it and then having to open up, then either from the command line or from some GUI, creating a database, signing a user to that, and then filling out a WP config file with those details. If you're doing it manually, so setting up a WordPress install, if you absolutely knew what you were doing and it was very quick, it probably still takes you 5 minutes. This way it takes under a minute.
Okay, because that's entirely a practical thing, isn't it? I guess.
That's because I was doing it quite frequently.
Yeah, yeah.
I see. So it's not an aesthetic thing.
Well, it's some of the things that you can do, some of the things that I think we're talking, that I was thinking of anyway, aren't entirely practical, because when you're suggesting the script and you're writing it, if you know, I'm sure everybody who's listening to this thinks, well, that's a perfectly logical thing. Mm. Whereas spending literally 2 hours fiddling with the font for your text editor or trying to get your icons in the right place, it's not necessarily going to make you any efficient. There's not more efficient. There's not a kind of measurable benefit that. It just kind of makes you feel a bit better. And I think a lot of what we can end up doing with your sort of workspace or just with the way you work, things that sometimes if you took a step back or you told somebody else about it who worked in another industry, they'd think you were a bit crazy. But then I guess whatever industry or job somebody has, there's always those little kind of things that they do that just make you feel a bit better about doing what you do. One thing I was going to talk to you about is I'm looking at the back of Ben's MacBook Pro at the moment. I'll tweet a photo of it. It's covered in stickers.
Well, not covered.
It's covered in stickers.
There's a few stickers.
It's covered in stickers. Hang on. 1, 2, 3.
Getting quite a bit of stick. Get a bit of stick for that now.
You get stick for your stickers.
Yeah,
that's meta. Why do you do it?
Because everyone else does. I don't know. I don't know. I guess. Everyone does, doesn't it? But do they do it? Well, no, everyone does. A lot of people do. But do they do it? Because I love stickers. I love stickers. But and that's a childhood thing. I think getting stickers in a box of something, like a box of cereal, Ghostbusters stickers. If I go and visit Mum, we've got some of these storage boxes and they've still got Ghostbusters stickers on them.
Right.
Or various, the Tiger, Frosty stickers.
Yeah.
Because they'd come with a sticker pack or something.
Yeah.
And I always used to, make stickers. So I'd buy those white labels.
You made stickers?
Well, no, I just mean, buy, like I did, I remember doing Peanuts ones with, and Chip, was he called Chip, not Chipmunk, Chip, Woodstock. Was he called Woodstock, okay. the little bird thing? Is he a bird? Yeah, I drew a bunch of Woodstocks on these white things and then sold them at primary school.
You little entrepreneur.
5p each or something. And there's still some of those knocking around on some boxes and things
at home.
You need
to revive that industry.
No, so stickers is a thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
BMXs and mountain bikes, I used to just plaster them in stickers.
Well, lots of people do. People stick them on their cars. Yeah. And
I love them.
Because I had one on my laptop back when I was doing more work with WordPress. I very tentatively put this WordPress sticker on it, just one of the circly badge ones. Mm. And because I don't really do much work on WordPress, I sort of peeled it off the other day. So there's nothing on there. And like, I'm just about to get myself a MacBook Pro. And I was thinking, I don't think I could put stickers on it. But then, it's kind of, I guess it's part of making it your own. I had an epiphany with it yesterday.
They come pretty easily.
Yeah.
I've changed some of the stickers on that one. I think I had two Trello stickers on and I didn't like one of them.
Because one of them, the dog avatar thing.
Yeah, I think I don't know. Yeah, they come off really easily.
Yeah.
Most of them do.
Yeah. But I didn't want to put any on because I didn't want it to kind of spoil the look of it. But then your laptop is, because it's got the Apple logo on it, it's kind of basically a big faceless corporation that you've got like the logo of on the back of your laptop.
Mm.
You stick your stickers on it, then you've made it more yours, haven't you?
My old laptop was really covered and I almost wanted to cover... I didn't want to, it's like a reverse snobbery thing. I didn't want to cover necessarily the fact it's a MacBook. I liked the fact it was a MacBook and I like using it, but I didn't just want it to have the same white or lit up Apple logo as everything else. And I covered it with quite dense stickers and when it was lit, you couldn't see the stickers. You couldn't see the light through it.
Okay.
But it became a bit annoying because they start to snag on things.
Right.
And then some people buy a film, put the stickers on, and then put a film over the top of the whole thing. That seemed to me to be, personally, I thought that sounded a little bit like, have you ever seen posters of stickers? There's a few, like, with you can buy, I've seen a few places where you can get some posters with loads of, say, Vans and Independent, so or like skate.
Well, it's like stickers.
Yeah. So it's almost like, hey, I haven't actually gone and collected these at shows and off from shops and in packets of trucks I bought and whatever. It's like buying an A2 print of a load of brands.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's weird.
And that is odd. That's kind of, I don't know if that's meta or not, but that's kind of having a poster of stickers is kind of...
If it was a sticker, stickers. Kind
of, yeah. That's a bit of a wheel within a wheel, isn't it? But... I kind of like the idea of... I've kind of come around to the idea of stickers now, just to kind of personalise your kit. Because I guess you need to. You need to kind of take some sense of ownership. What stickers have you got on the... Actually...
Can't remember.
What have you got on the back of there? Because you've got... There's a Trello one, Stack Overflow, WordPress, a two-hole to skate one. What's that one? A Yeti?
That one?
Yeah.
That's a Foundation Yeti. Yeah, if you contribute to the project at all. And they kind of send you, so they sent a t-shirt and a whole load of stickers.
Right, okay.
That was good. That field, that is a bicycle company.
Okay.
And, yeah. Because there's not that many on there.
No, but it does kind of say something about you. And I thought the Stack Overflow one and the, so what was that one again? That was the top one you just mentioned, if you contribute to the project.
That's the Foundation Responsive Framework.
Because one of the things I was going to talk about is communities, like joining communities and things, because that's kind of part of it, like the little things that make a difference. Even though it's practical, whenever I go onto Stack Overflow, I always look with a sad face at my points, because I tend to go on there more to look for solutions to things. And whenever I have questions or something I need a fix for, about 99.9% of the time, somebody's already asked that question or any... of the numerous variations of that question. Yeah. So there's very rarely a need for me to...
The beauty of it, yeah.
Yeah. So I find that, like, when I think of something, I think, oh, cool, I can submit this to Stack Overflow and get some points and things, but it doesn't really happen. And then when I go there to kind of to look for answers to give to things, they've all been given. And so I think I've got a few. There's one forum there for improving your code... And I think there was something that I was doing and I wanted to go in there to find a slightly more elegant way of doing it. And I got a few points for submitting that question. I think you contributed to that. A bit inside baseball. But just little things like that, like not having enough points on Stack Overflow is like one of those things that I'd like to sort out. It's a little thing.
I think it's quite hard to build up points because you get battered so quickly. If you ask a stupid question, or even a normal, fine question, it's just that someone else decides it's stupid and downvotes you. But one of the ways to build your own profile up, I think it's worth doing. You know, some people spend hours filling out LinkedIn profiles. I personally reckon you'd probably, as a developer, you'd probably it's better time spent building up a Stack Overflow profile and getting to the point where you can ask any question and people will say, how many thousand points, right? Yeah, I'm not going to diss him, I'm just going to answer the question.
Yeah. although LinkedIn is a funny thing because it looks like a dog's dinner. It does. It looks like a dog has been fed some text and rectangles and has been sick on the computer. It's an awful, awful looking site. And it's so clunky. But I'd set up a page for my, for Pixelsmiths. And because the UI is all weird, it's just quite tricky to do. I set it up and I couldn't kind of get access to it as an admin.
Mm.
And I sent in a support request and got a reply within a few hours. And they sorted it out. So they were pretty on it in terms of their support.
Mm.
And you do get inquiries through LinkedIn and people get work through it. And so it seems to be working. You just have to kind of almost like hold one eye. Hold your hand over the screen and sort of like...
I'm not a reasonable person to talk to about it because I hate Facebook as well. So to me, okay. It's just like corporate Facebook.
Yeah. We should have a talk about Plesk and Dreamweaver and Joomla.
No, well. Should we?
Those are Ben's trigger words. But I think sort of just back to sort of hardware and things like that. I think a lot of the choices that we make over the hardware that we use, and some of the apps that we use, sometimes they're not entirely logical, are they? We maybe haven't made an objective study of what the best thing to use is, or what the most efficient thing to use is. I think there's quite a strong emotional component to a lot of it.
There is, but I personally try to fight that quite a lot.
Okay.
So, for example, when I first got the Mac and I was looking for some sort of coding environment, I heard that Coda 2, I think, I don't know if there's a newer one now, but Coda was good. And it is good and it looks nice. And I did use it for a while, but so I know that some people won't use, say, Sublime Text because it doesn't look as nice as Coda.
Okay.
That's ridiculous, isn't it? Well, maybe it's not, but if it's not as good as, or it's not as, I'm not saying Coda isn't as good as, because it was really nice.
Some people don't use it because
it doesn't look as good. Yeah. They don't like the working environment.
Yeah.
Now, I suppose that is important, but maybe this is, I would think, almost fight that on purpose.
But I think that's the nub of the issue, isn't it? There are some things which aren't logical, because if Coda is absolutely objectively better, you might still just prefer using Sublime. And if it means that when you open your text editor and it's one that you don't like very much, but it's better, that's always going to be in the back of your mind somewhere. And it means that you're kind of, you know, there's probably a little bit of reluctance to open it and use it. Whereas if you open it and it's the right theme, SETI, I use the SETI theme with Atom, with the Monokai color scheme. But I don't use the SETI icons. There's a different set of icons that I use. Because on Atom, the SETI theme doesn't look quite as nice as it does on Sublime.
Oh, wow. So this is a whole other level that I'm not.
But and with the nice thing about Sublime is with Atom is it's easier to... Because you can open up the style sheet and you can change the colour of the... You know, change the colour of the backgrounds, change the size of the... What do they call the little flashy thing that you... The
cursor?
No, it's the cursor, but there's a more fancy name for it, the carré or...
Is there? I don't know.
Anyway, but you can change the thickness and the colour of that and the flashiness of it is quite easy to change. And whereas with Sublime, it's not difficult, but it's not quite as frictionless as it is with Atom. But I kind of do spend time doing it. So when my first reaction when I open Atom, it's like, it's all nice. And like when your code's all tidy and nicely indented and, you know, you've chosen your... I mean, I know there's utility in choosing your class names properly and, you know, laying out your code so, you know, it kind of cascades nicely with specificity. So you have your more general styles at the top and as you go down, it gets more and more specific. So it's easier to find.
Mm.
There's actual utility in that. But there's a certain almost... slightly undefinable kind of pleasure it gives you. If that's all nice and... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Well, it's not... You've got the two sides of it. If you've got what I would, you know, might sometimes throw our way of, as being a bit OCD, but the idea of everything being nicely nested...
Yes.
...is something I'll go through and usually now I'll just run a...
Run a script
on it. Well, within Atom, you know, there's loads of HTML tidy scripts and CSS tidy and whatever writing in. But then there's also clean code. It's a bit, I don't know if it's right to say, you know, if something looks aerodynamic, it probably is quite aerodynamic. You know, that idea of if it looks clean and it's well laid out.
Yeah.
It kind of probably is a bit more efficient, and
most likely, yeah. But I think with that, it's both, isn't it? There's a logical part to that, but there's also an emotional part to that as well. If you look at a really beautifully designed car, I'm not that into cars, but a car that's aerodynamic is quite pleasing to look at. Mm. And I'm not sure if you're looking at it and assessing the drag factor on it. It just looks nice because it's all smooth and stuff. And the same with your code. If it's efficiently laid out, you know, it does feel good to, it's easier to work with, but it just kind of looks nice. Because there's an Instagram account that I follow, World of Code, which is basically just pictures of monitors with code on.
No, really?
And the thing is, you can't really read the code.
It's like fetishistic.
It is a bit, because you can't read it, but you can see it, and it's all nicely indented, and it's a nice colour scheme, and it's a nice monitor, and like somebody's got a cup of coffee there, and you know, a little poster and stuff. And it's kind of...
I wonder how much of this is related to time and available time. Like, I enjoy when I've had opportunities to, say, reinstall the OS from scratch of my Mac.
Yeah.
I enjoy the bringing it up to scratch again and filtering out some of that old dross, or not even having to turn it off. It's, you know, it's not on there. I've started from scratch. And then I'll spend quite a lot of time setting things up.
Yeah.
But then once I'm at the coal face, as it were, I'll then probably ignore it for the next few months.
Yeah.
So it might be, because at the moment you've got several projects, haven't you? But you're not probably at full steam?
Sort of there or thereabouts.
If you are, okay. Yeah. So maybe it's not that. Because I wonder whether it was effective. Basically, what I'm saying is I wonder if you've got time to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's sometimes, some days, this is probably just down to ability to manage one's personal time. But there are some days where there wouldn't be time to think about the choice of a font. Was that not fair?
No, I think I kind of... Well, it's interesting because we kind of put some requests out for some feedback. And I think the thing that came across most consistently... There's two things that we got. Like, we put it out on our Google Plus page, which is every now and then... Google Plus is a little bit echoey. There's not like lots going on. But anyway, we had Brett Bailey, one of our listeners on Google Plus, who mentioned... Because I just said, what sort of things, what details make difference? They make a difference to you. Dual monitors was what he said. And I've got a dual monitor set up. And I think lots of people do. You don't have one, do you?
No, I don't. But I know that someone I worked with a while back, well, just it was interesting that they felt they just couldn't work effectively with one.
Yeah.
Once they'd been using two.
Yeah.
And they started work at a new company and they specified two and there was only one there and they brought theirs in from home and they... made a bit of a stink about it and got another one. It was a case of, no, I use two monitors, is what I do.
Yeah.
Personally, to me, I think I've spoken before about the Spectacle app with shifting things to the left, right, top or bottom of the screen. For me, that's enough. But, I have used dual monitors in the past and I tend to end up not using one.
Oh, really?
Hardly using it, you know, because I don't drag anything to it or I don't have anything opening on it.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting, because I'll always have my text editor open on... I've got, like, a smaller monitor and a bigger one. I'll always have my text editor open on the smaller one, if I'm coding. And then on the bigger one, just the website that I'm working on, or if I'm kind of doing something in Photoshop, I'll often have that. I'll often have the small one as my working pane.
Yeah.
And the bigger one sort of to actually check what I'm doing.
Sometimes I use that Dual app. Dual is actually called Dual, with the iPad set up as a little refreshing screen, you know, auto refresh type. But maybe it's because I spend less time looking at the front end of the site and more.
Yeah.
It's not like I want to make a change and then see it. Sometimes I'll be looking at a code view for a good hour and a half before I actually then think, oh, what's that looking like on the front end?
Yeah.
No, not an hour and a half. You know what I mean? Long periods of time. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's take a quick pause there and we'll do a tool start and we'll come back and talk some more.
Okay. Right, so that brings us to our tool start section. So you've got something this time, haven't you, Mark? What have you got?
It's, again, quite text editor focused. I'm talking about input font, which is, it's not a single font, it's a system of fonts. And it's input.fontbureau.com. And what you can do there is it gives you, for instance, instead of just having like one font version, which is monospaced, you can choose to have it monospaced or you can choose to have it, what's the other thing? Like regular, you can choose regular spacing with it because most coding tends to be monospaced.
Mm.
But if you have it regular spaced, which is the option I've gone to, it just kind of makes everything look a bit tidier because it's been developed especially for...
How does that work with nesting?
It seems to work fine. I mean, if you actually have a look at the site, they've thought it through to make sure that it works consistently. And one of the things which is quite interesting is that they suggest that if you have something monospaced, it's more difficult to pick up errors, because if you have regular spacing, if you have a number of different class names that you've used, if you've typed one of the letters wrong, because the spacing, like if you kind of have your class names like stacked up on top of another, or different things stacked up one on top of another, the word length will look the same.
So one character wrong, it'll still be the same word length.
Yeah, but if you have it kind of, regular spacing, then it's kind of easier to pick up as you scan through. And you can choose like serif versions, non-serif versions, mono. You can change the width and the line height where before you download it. And then when you select it to download, it will give you the font in the way that you specified. So you can adjust it to your own needs. And if you're going to use it for your own text editor, then it's free to use for personal use.
Okay.
And I think there is a charge. If you're going to use it publicly, then there is a small fee for it. But it's brilliant, actually.
I'm looking at it. Yeah, it's really nice. I see. Yeah.
But we'll put it on the show notes. So that was the first one. And the other one I was going to mention was Sublime, which you've mentioned a few times, because whenever you go to the Sublime forums, there's always somebody asking, is Sublime text dead? Because the development of it is a little bit stop-start.
Right.
So you might not hear anything for a long time. So I was just looking through the blog. There's a build that came out February the 9th. And then the previous blog entry is March the 25th last year.
Wow.
So there's quite a lot of quiet periods between any output from them. But they've just had somebody join their team, Will Bond, who is the package control mastermind. So he's just joined the team. So there is some indication that there might be slightly more consistent development, maybe more output from them. I think Sublime Text 4 is like on the horizon, has been on the horizon for quite a long time, and people complain about Sublime Text 3 that bugs don't get fixed very quickly, support requests don't get dealt with very quickly.
Yeah.
But this seems to indicate that there is kind of life in the old dog yet.
That's so good. I imagine there are many people that would switch back straight away, and unless obviously they've unfortunately for Sublime, if they've spent long enough with something different now to just like it.
Yeah.
But it has had such a massive following. And
Yeah, it has. And good. Again, with that, it's quite interesting. If you read through the forums, it doesn't read like people very coolly assessing a piece of software. It's a bit like people talking about whether the Beatles are better than the Rolling Stones. Or, you know,
yes,
a modern example.
Very current.
But it is. It's a bit like if somebody kind of slates Justin Bieber on social media. You know, they get a lot of flack for it,
yeah.
And people go a bit crazy. Again, if people talk, you know, trash talk Sublime, particularly on the Sublime forums, there's a lot of wildly emotional talk.
Right.
And it's just quite interesting just how people get so attached to a certain thing. This being said by a person that spent hours choosing the right font for their text editor.
Mm.
So yeah, I just think that our approach to these things is interesting. But anyway, so my two tool stars are Input Font and just a bit of news about Sublime Text.
Okay, good. Okay, let's go back to our main topic then. So did you have some more responses to your question when you shouted into the, you know, out for answers and things?
Shouted into the canyon of social media. I did actually. I got one on Twitter from Andy Bell. He mentioned keeping a clean desk is his jam.
not jam on, no.
No actual jam.
Right.
Because, you know, that'd be sticky. But any mess and I go cuckoo. And I know what he means. Sometimes if I'm at home and I'm coding and Kate, my wife, is kind of, I tend to leave a bit of a trail of destruction sort of like behind me, and the desk is all nice. And then suddenly if my head, like Kate would put my headphones on the desk, and I'm just like, oh, put them on the desk.
Right.
And then like, you know, one of my tablets will be put on the desk. I'm like, because, you know, you like to have your desk all tidy. And Do you have any stuff on your desk?
I do. And I've got a new addition.
What have you got?
Yeah, because Jem bought me I've wanted it for ages, the Lego Wall-E.
Cool. Wall-E.
Is it Wall-E? Wall-E. Wall-E, Wall-E, Wall-E. You know,
you said it too many times now. Yes. It's starting to sound weird.
It was a Lego Ideas, or I think it might have even started when it was called Lego Kuzo. Oh, let's not get onto Lego. But Yeah, I wanted one. I kind of mentioned it recently and then said something like, oh, you know, Nick, if you're thinking about an anniversary present or something. And she just bought it. It wasn't even our anniversary. So
that subtle hint from
you. Yeah,
wow.
Well, I didn't expect her to actually just buy it. So that now sits. Now, talking about details, I took about 10 minutes to get Wally to hold my SD cards. So I've got several SD cards.
We will tweet a photo of that.
Yes. So that's nice. So I've got Wally on there. I use the Henge dock to dock the MacBook.
See, that's interesting because I would use, because when I've already kind of got a few things in mind for my setup, and I've got a stand that I like, and quite a nice wooden stand for my MacBook Pro, and I'm fixing to use that as my second monitor to have. My father-in-law has very kindly donated a monitor that he's not using. He's an early adopter for technology, which is quite useful because we just kind of stand nearby and gather the scraps.
Good. And they're still pretty good scraps.
Oh, they're not. But he's got a monitor that he's not using, so I'm going to go and grab that. So I was going to use the Mac as a second screen. I really like the Henge dock. I think it looks really cool.
I like it. Yeah. So that's pretty much all. There are probably some other bits and bobs. But I don't like it to be too cluttered. I'd rather like you have it behind me.
Yeah.
On the floor.
but it's interesting just what people sort of just put on their desks and near their desks. We had a contribution from Graham Leafield on Facebook. And he's got a two monitor set up, but he sent me a photo and he's got an Iron Man photo.
Let's have a look.
Iron Man poster.
Yeah.
And I commented on it, and he said that they've got a different one for each member of their team.
That's good.
And of course, we got into whose side are you on?
He also seems to have his feet on his desk.
He does have his feet on his desk.
That's very nonchalant.
Well, I think he's relaxing after a hard day's work. But we got into a bit of a discussion about whose side we're all on for Captain America's Civil War.
Yes.
He's Team Iron Man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm avowedly Team Cap, so we'll just have to see how that shakes down. But having lots of monitors, Peter Mayhew, again, is somebody else who commented on our Facebook after a Facebook request. He mentioned that he likes lots of monitors. Right. So I don't know how many monitors he's got. Is it like that? It's like that scene in Batman. Just got a wall of them. But and that was on that was from the local business network. So just a shout out to those guys. Which I think Elliot Richmond is.
Is that the one you went? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Hmm. There you go. But we're going to talk about getting out of the house, out of the office, because I guess a lot of you work from home, I work from home. I guess probably most of our listeners.
I'm hoping to work from the bottom of the garden soon.
Cool.
But for now, it'll be home. In fact, moving house, I'm going to be working from our bedroom for a month or so, which is, I'd like to go somewhere to work.
Yeah.
And it's going to be working in amongst all the rest of our life.
Is that so you've got a place where you can put your work and then almost close the door?
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, go on.
But no, work it, but you've got like, because what have you got on the bottom of the garden? Because there's a...
It's a patch of...
Just a patch of grass.
A patch of mud at the moment, but hopefully it's going to be a workshop. Well, and an office. Sorry, I keep concentrating on the workshop. I'm like, tools. No, it's going to be an office with a workshop attached to it.
Okay.
This is all pipe dream. No, it's got to happen because I need someone to work. It's just it hasn't happened yet.
Okay. But even things like that, getting the right work environment is kind of is an important thing.
I was talking to a mate and he's got a wood burner that he just said, oh, if you're building things, do you want a wood burner? Yes, I definitely do. So that's going to go in there, hopefully. Got to go down to Somerset and pick that up.
We've got a wood burner as our primary means of heating in our flat. And they're a bit messy, but they're great. Mm. I'm almost a little bit sad. It's starting to warm up now. Almost a little bit sad that we're not going to be able to use it. Mm. There's nothing to say that we
just
can't
keep the windows open.
Just
at night. Make it purposely freezing.
We're just going to get terribly dehydrated from having a fire burning. But getting outside is important because I think sometimes you can end up going a little stir crazy.
Yeah.
You stay inside. But choosing a good place to work when you're outside, again, is sort of, I guess we would say that's a detail because you found a good spot to work, haven't you?
Yeah, there's two places that I now go back to consistently, because I think part of it is that I know that they're okay with me working there.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much of a detail that is. It's just a case that I'd rather be able to concentrate and not be worried about their thinking, oh, well, he hasn't topped up his coffee for the last hour.
How many coffees do you think you need to be able to claim a desk space?
I think it's, yeah, I don't know, maybe.
It's like 1 hour?
I think you need to be doing something every hour.
Yeah.
Maybe. The other day I was in there. Well, you popped in, didn't you?
Yes.
And then because you popped in, and also so did Chris.
Yeah.
And then I was doing various bits of work, and I was in there about 4 hours. But I did have a couple of coffees, a piece of cake, and a bacon sandwich,
well,
or
there,
a sandwich.
Yeah,
so I think you know, I felt justified.
Probably earn some credit for next time.
But they're really cool. When I first sort of tentatively said, oh, actually, I really need some charge on my laptop. Do you mind? And they were like, no. Oh, thanks for asking. No one ever asks. Yeah, but yeah, fine. And they've got points for plugging in. And then there's the other one that I love, which has got the little USB power sockets for charging your devices and whatever.
That's the coffee dispensary?
Coffee dispensary, Cheltenham.
Good coffee.
Where's the Everyman Theatre? What's
Regent? Is it Regent? Okay.
Regent Street.
Regent Street.
Yeah, love it. This is again local news for local people. We should.
It's nice getting a place that you feel that you can work. So we're kind of, you know, give credit where credit's due. But they do good coffee.
Good coffee.
Them and Boston, I think, in town do possibly the best. I like
just
Boston
too busy.
Coffee.
Just too busy. Too many people.
And that place you go to, Moochu.
I like Moochu.
Good coffee. I went there years ago, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, and just got a cup of black coffee and wasn't that keen. And so I was a little tentative when I came up to see you, but you know,
it was good. All right, was it?
Yeah, good coffee. But again, like little details about, like, if you're in a coffee shop, getting charge is kind of just quite a nice detail. Just getting a nice seat. I've done that in a few times where I've gone to a favoured coffee shop to work and somebody's in my seat and I've gone somewhere else because I don't want to, you know, don't want to sit in that crummy seat. That's, you know, someone's in my seat and it's kind of, it doesn't make any difference to you really. It's not going to make you.
One of the best things about Moochu is that there's a couple of people that seem to quite frequently bring in dogs, and one of them looks after dogs that are going to be rehomed. They're like a little, I don't know what you'd call them, a bit like dog fostering.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's nearly always whippets and lurchers, and I love them.
Cool.
So I met the other day, I met Billy the whippet. Brilliant. He was brilliant. 8 months old and full of beans. Really cool. Anyway, nothing to do with work at all. It's just coffee shops, dogs, great.
Cheltenham needs a cat cafe.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them are really restrictive. You know, they're like, no petting of the cats. if I'm going to go into a cat cafe, I want this cat sat on my knee purring.
What do they make you do? No touching of the cat at any time.
Yeah, I've heard that. That one in London, that, what's the name, went to? Rachel Andrew, was it? Said. Oh, maybe it wasn't that one she went to, but they've got some rules about no picking up of the cats.
Okay.
Which, yeah.
I guess picking up, because not all cats are into that sort of thing.
No.
And, yeah, that's odd. But a dog cafe would be quite cool. I like pubs with dogs.
Yeah.
There's a pub just up the road from us that's got one.
And they're happy for dogs. Oh, you mean that there's actually got a pub dog?
Yeah, a pub dog. So that's cool.
Yeah.
And they always do well, because, you know, they kind of always come around and sneak chips off you and stuff.
Because Favourite Beers has got a dog, and they had a beer named after Ruby.
Oh, okay.
And it was a Ruby Ale.
Yeah.
That was good. That's a shop, by the way. Yeah. Again, this is so local.
But I think it's the kind of thing that can make a difference to you. Like,
yeah,
if you're working from home for long periods and you don't leave the house, you can still get your job done, but you might go a little crazy. Or it just might just, you know, it can affect your mental health. It can affect how happy you are in your job. But if you go out to a nice coffee shop, then it just kind of brings a little bit of, almost lets a little bit of the outside in, brings a little bit of fresh air to it. And, you know, for a client, they're not gonna know that you coded this particular part of their website in a coffee shop, or this particular part of the website was crying in the bathroom, like cradling a laptop.
I did have one client once who called me, and I was in a coffee shop, and I said, and they said, oh, can you talk? I'm like, yeah. And then they said, actually, don't worry, I'll talk to you later. I was like, no, it's fine. They said, no, I want you to be able to concentrate. And I'm like, okay. And they actually didn't want me to, and that was it. They also didn't want me to work on their site that day.
Right.
Because I was remote.
Right.
So I don't know if it's because they I mean, I'm quite used to working remotely, I don't know whether, you know, whether I do take a dive on productivity when I'm working in a cafe. I don't know,
right?
But I don't think I do. But they didn't like the idea of it. I think they were a bit old school.
How long ago was that?
About a year ago.
Okay. Well, that's interesting, because I kind of thought that people would understand. Because when you go to a client meeting and you've got your laptop with all the stickers on, does anybody say anything about it? Or do you ever kind of... Because I guess people, they know that that's... If they've seen like 20 other developers or designers, they've all come in with like stickers all over their laptops. So they kind of know it's a thing. It's like a dress code, isn't it?
This comes down to something we spoke about in one of our episodes where we talked about the attitude of people that you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sounding a bit like, a bit attitude-y. But, you know, if they've got a problem with that, are they going to have a problem? Are we going to actually have a working problem going forward?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't tend to dress up at all for client meetings. I don't mean I go dirty, you know, messy, but I will go in jeans and a T-shirt. And if they had a problem with that, then maybe that's not the right fit.
I guess it's, you imagine, though, somebody who's anyway familiar with the world of, you know, the world of the web, if someone turns up in a suit, they might think, oh, who's this?
Yes, white, yes.
But I wonder if they might think that. If they might think, because I went to a local business sort of meetup and conference type thing. And I think Elliot Richmond was involved in running of it. And I hadn't been to this particular one, so I just asked him what the dress code was. And I got back, casual.
Yeah, okay.
And it was like, it was said in just like, just casual, just don't worry, seriously. Because I think in that sort of context, if you're introducing yourself to someone as an accountant, they kind of expect you to be in a nice suit or, you know, or to be kind of in business dress. Mm. You know, if you're, you've got a product to sell, so you've got like some project management sort of solution to sell, people expect you to be in a suit. But if you're, say, you know, if you're, I'm the creative director of a web agency,
then you need a roll neck.
Huh?
Then you need a roll neck.
Well, you did, yeah, something like that, or in you know, in European glasses.
Yes.
but it is, there is kind of a certain expectation. I mean, even though we dress down, we are almost dressing to a kind of a code, aren't we? I guess in a meeting, like in a multidisciplinary meeting, you could probably scan around the room and pick out
the
web team, couldn't you?
By
what they look like and what they're dressed like. Mm. So, yeah. But yeah, but I guess even just things like that kind of make you, whatever makes you comfortable on the job. Anyway, this has been a bit rambly, but I do find it endlessly interesting just how you can end up spending a lot of your working day fiddling with something. You take a step back and you think, why have I done this? Like, what possible benefit is this to me? But the fact that you've done it means that there is some concern about it. So, but okay, we'll wrap it up there, shall we?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so we are at our jukebox section where we add a couple of tracks to one of our playlists. We have two playlists now, the Relative Paths playlist. I can't speak properly. The Relative Paths playlist and the Relative Paths Alt playlist. What have you got for us this week, Ben?
I've got one for the alternative one, the new one, which is sort of getting a couple of followers and it's still very small.
Yeah.
But this is a track that I've actually talked about previously before when it wouldn't fit, it wouldn't go on our playlist. I think I just gave it as a tip a long time ago. But now I can put it on.
Yay.
Because we can put anything we want, can't we?
Yeah. Well, within reason.
Nope. Okay,
here comes some brass.
No. So it is like drum and bass in it. I don't know why I did that voice then. I'm sorry.
Well, the drum and bass was kind of part of the, I guess, growing up in Bristol.
I do associate it with Bristol
because I remember kind of Ronnie Size.
Yeah,
I remember him giving like a free concert in Bristol. Ronnie Size represent.
Mm.
And it's quite a scoop because it was like back when they were really big.
Mm.
And good gig. And they had a drummer, I think it might have been the same drummer who drummed for Porter's Head, who was doing drum and bass drumming live. And it was amazing to see because the, you know,
it's the pace of that.
Yeah, yeah. Because like hearing it on the tracks, you kind of assume that it's a drum machine. But then you see somebody actually doing it live and it's kind of... anyway, sorry, I'm
although the Amen Break, that is the the standard. They call it the Amen Break. You know the Amen Brothers?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
that
yeah.
was live drummed, although I think maybe it speeded up a bit. But yes. That was from a live drummed bit of something in the 60s or 70s,
yeah,
whenever it was. Yeah, so this is by a group, band, people, couple of people, I think, from Cambridge called Comix, C-O-M-M-I-X, I think. And they used to be on Hospital Records.
Right.
And
not Hospital Radio?
Nope. And it's called Japanese Electronics. And it sounds like Japanese electronics. And it's a really good, it feels really sort of like a technical track. It's actually really quite old now. It's 2007. I didn't realise it was that old. Mm. But I just looked just now to check. And it was from their album called... can't remember.
That's an interesting title for an album.
Yes, can't remember now. And I won't check, but I'll put it in the show notes.
Is that the whole thing, the album title? It's amazing.
A lot of room. They need a lot of room on the cover. So here's a snippet of that tune. I hope it's not too mad. So that was that. And the album was called Call to Mind, by the way. Yes.
It wasn't called I Don't Remember, I'm Not Going to Check and Put It in the Show Notes.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, my track is by Gold Panda. You put Gold Panda track on the regular playlist a few episodes ago. Mm.
Yeah, Through Clouds, I think it was. Mm.
And I've been a big fan of Gold Panda for a long time. A track that I had in mind was You. Off the Lucky Shiner album in 2010, which I thought was a little bit too... it's too... I was going to say too worthy of a listen for the regular playlist, but I think it's a track that you have to kind of almost actively listen to. Because I think with the coding playlist, yeah. The idea is it's pleasant music, but it's something you can tune in and tune out of. I think with this track, it's probably a bit more difficult to tune out of it, because there's a lot going on, a lot of changes, a lot of samples and
stuff. Is it a like tape... that. A tape transport being changed at the beginning.
It is, yeah.
Is it someone on a skateboard doing something?
I think it's a tape.
Okay, it's just sounds...
Oh, it might be both, then.
I wasn't sure. Yeah. It just sounds... anyway, sorry. Yeah.
But that's the kind of thing I like about tracks, is when they have just interesting little snippets and samples and things like that in. And yeah, well, you kind of told... You sort of told the listeners and me all about them. He went to Japan, didn't he? And got really into the Japanese scene.
Yeah, I think he did... Japan studies or something. Maybe did he start here and then go there and spend some time there?
Yeah. Mm. This album, there's a few tracks on there that sound like they've got some influences from Indian music.
Oh, right.
So, yeah. Good track, actually. One of my favourites. One I listen to quite a lot. And I think it's my wife's favourite Gold Panda track as well. So it comes doubly recommended. Anyway, here's a bit.
Right.
So those are going to go onto the Relative Pals alternative playlist. I think we're going to try to kind of beef that one up a little bit, aren't we? Because the regular playlist has got a lot of stuff on. Mm. I think next time I'm planning to migrate a bit of stuff from the regular playlist onto that one. A few things I tried to like sneak under the radar. But we'll fix that next time. Okay, so that's been our episode, All About the Details. This will be up on our website, relativepaths.uk. If there are any details that make a difference to you that you'd like to tell us about, come on there and tell us about them in the discussion thread. You can also contact us on Twitter. We are Relative Paths. We are Relative Paths also on Facebook and on Google+. Reviews are always welcome, and they help people find us.
We've got a lot in the States and the UK, but surprising amount in France, Germany. I say surprising, I suppose. I don't know why, but it's just but they've all got their own iTunes stores.
Yeah.
So reviews from anyone outside the States and outside the UK would be very much appreciated.
Yeah.
Because it's only when you've got something like 3 or 4 reviews do you actually then get a star rating.
Yeah.
And the reviews show up in the iTunes stores, but that's just we don't want to nag too much about that.
We get there's a service that we signed up to, which I think emails us when we get reviews. So I think if you review us in non-UK iTunes domains, we'll get to know it. So you know, we'll try to sort of have a look through those and sort of thank a few people on air. We also have quite a number of listeners in India. I think most of our likers on Facebook are from India. So anybody out there, just kind of say hey, give us a tweet, or pop to the website and say a hey there. And also reviews over there are most welcome. Okay, so that's our podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back in your ears in 2 weeks' time.
Okay, bye-bye.